9-week series entitled Faith, Hope, and Love. Absolute foundational to the gospel, especially love. If you're here today and you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, let me just say this. You have not come to a religious service. You may think that while I'm in a religious building with a religious group of people, the truth is that religion, unfortunately, weaves its way into what we would call a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with the Father who, Pastor Larry, you just led us through. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, by shedding his blood on a cross, but much greater than that, the blood was absolutely vital. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Remission means take it away. Very powerful word. But by also his resurrection, we're here today. This building has no anointing. This building, God's not going to save it. God's whole plan of salvation was humanity. Isn't that a wonderful plan? And we come to Jesus by faith. By faith. So we're going to be doing three messages on faith, three messages on hope, and three messages on love. Love is foundational. Foundational. Getting back to the whole religious thing, there's only one law that the believer is under now. It's the law of love. The Apostle Paul said that if you love your neighbor, you have fulfilled the law. Galatians 6:2 says that we are to carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, the Apostle Paul speaking, long before we had the Gospel of John. Love. Love is what draws us to God. Not rules, not regulations, not do A, B, C, D, and E, and you possibly might be good enough. Love was the reason for the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus because he loved us. And so what's going to happen over the next 9 weeks? The life groups are going to be studying these messages that we preach over the next, again, 9 weeks, because we're trying to take the church in a particular pointed direction. And when we teach on faith, faith is never meant for you to feel condemned that you don't have any faith, because every person in this world has been given the measure of faith. That's what the word says. Or that you're preaching down to us. No, no, no. We're going to all be lifted up by faith, amen? And encouraged in our faith to walk at a greater place that God has called us to walk. To believe for great things, to believe that the scripture says that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. To place our faith in a greater way into the Word of God. That God's Word is truth. It may be true that you're sick today, physically. That's true. But truth is, Jesus paid for your sickness at the cross, and the scripture says, by faith, by his stripes, we are what? Healed. We're healed. We place our faith in scripture. Faith is a force. It's a force. Satan hates faith. He hates it. He hates it. Some people struggle with the scripture in Mark 11, that by faith that we can move mountains. And they wrestle with that. If you speak to the mountain, it shall be removed. And if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, it shall be done for you. You receive it by faith. And people really wrestled with that. And I've wrestled with that. And as I wrestled through this, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, to say to you, if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive Christ by faith, that means you're a mountain mover right there. I'll tell you why. Because the minute you receive Jesus Christ, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's faith, that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, all of your sin has been removed like that mountain because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. That's faith. You've got faith. He gave us all the measure of faith. It's a powerful, powerful force. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 13. If you could put that up, Dean, that'd be great. Because it's kind of going to be foundational, the last portion of this. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stifled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. We're not at that place right now, folks. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. In other words, what's Paul saying? We're this gospel, some of it, and what God does can be mysterious. We don't fully understand. We look through a glass darkly, what he's saying. We see it just kind of like a reflection. All right, because we receive it all by faith. Then we shall see face to face. He's talking later on in eternity. And by the way, I'm not going to eternal life. I have eternal life in me. And if you're in Christ, you've got eternal life in you now. And we look forward to eternal life with God because of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word faith in the New Testament, NIV translation, is used over 220 times. Faith is the absolute, besides love, hope, but faith is foundational to the new covenant. What's a new covenant? What does that mean? What covenant? What are you talking about? Well, God had one covenant for Israel, his people, in the Old Testament, but it was all foreshadowing this beautiful other covenant that was coming. Hebrews calls the covenant that we live under now a better covenant. That's because Jesus Christ did this. He went to a cross. He shed his blood, paid the price for all sin, all the sin of mankind. I remember Pastor Larry saying this. It just hit me one day. Every person in this world, all of their sins have been purchased, bought, and paid for. That's the truth. That's not preaching that all will receive it, but every person, sin, which just means missing the mark, the perfect mark of God. It's all been purchased. It's all been bought and paid for. We receive it as a gift by faith. The New Testament, the message of the New Testament is faith. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, two times the word faith is mentioned, and one of those times, the just shall live by faith. Wow. It is the absolute message of Jesus. Not putting faith in self, faith in God. Would you put that slide up, the definition of faith? Webster's definition says it's a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. We put our faith in Christ. Next. Now, this is an amazing definition. The Greek word for faith is the word pistis. And I love to study a gentleman. His name is Rick Renner. He's just very schooled in the Greek language. And here's what he says. He describes it this way. The key nature of the Greek word pistis, translated faith, denotes a force that is forward-directed and aggressive, never passive or backward-reaching, but always reaching forward to obtain a specific target or goal. Folks, faith is a force. It's never passive. It's never sitting around. It's never, woe to me. It's never, oh God, what now? It's a force. We lay hold of it. We take hold of it and we receive it. And we move in it because faith lives in us, because the Spirit of the living God now dwells in us when we find Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior, and it transforms our life. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you see, God is a God of faith. You say, what do you mean? He couldn't have given every man the measure of faith unless God had faith. In fact, some translations of Mark 11, 22 says, have the faith of God. And by the way, we have the faith of God. And maybe your faith feels weak. Maybe it feels down today. Well, listen to how Jesus at times described faith. And you write these down if you want to study them a little later. Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, little faith. Matthew 8:10, he used the word great faith. Matthew 9:2, Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? He saw faith in action. Faith and works. James, go hand in hand. Not for salvation, but because of faith, because of who we are in Christ. We want to do things in the community. We want to pray for people who are going to Cambodia to bring water to villages that don't have water. How and why? Because Jesus would have done that very thing. So by faith, there's work. So he saw their faith. Matthew 17:20 describes faith like a mustard seed. That's it, a mustard seed. Meaning, but faith can grow. Faith is not presumptuous. Faith is based in the Word of God. Faith is based in the truth of the Word. And the Word is truth. It's God-breathed. It's infallible. I am fallible. Did I get that right? Yes, I am fallible. I know that shocks all of you. I was told that with that miracle, a man created a miracle. Anyway, we'll keep going. The Word of God is perfect. It's truth. We get our faith from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I encourage you to continue to saturate yourself in God's Word for faith to come up to a new place. Mark 4:40. He asked a question to his disciples. Do you still have no faith? They couldn't cast a demon out of a boy. Do you still have no faith? In his own hometown, he could do very few miracles. He said, there's such a lack of faith here. There's such a lack of faith. Wow, he sensed it. He couldn't do miracles. See, and somebody would say, he was God. He's the Son of God. So wait a minute. He was also the Son of Man. He did all of his miracles as the Son of Man, baptized in the Jordan, baptized by the Holy Spirit. He understands every one of our temptations. He understands every one of our weaknesses. We do not have a high priest, Hebrews says, that does not understand that. If you're struggling today, Jesus understands, amen? And he doesn't want you to remain in that struggle. And he has the power, and you have the power and authority through the word of God to be healed from that struggle. Pastor Larry said it last week, pastors struggle the same way that you do. We're in this together, and we're going to go to a new place of faith. You bet. He loves us. It was so evident to me this week. His love, he loves us. We are in Christ. We are his children. He loves us. He doesn't condemn us if you're in Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those of you, for those who are in Christ. Faith, write this down. Faith moves the hand of God. God is no respecter of people. He's a respecter of faith. He's a respecter of faith. He loves it when he sees his people filled with faith. Oh, you mean when things are going good? No. No. Oh, no. 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 In all times. Okay, next week we're going to talk about the scripture where the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, because there's a fight for faith. And by the way, faith is under attack in this country. It's time for the church, I say this in love, because I'm part of it, to wake up. Faith is under attack. The things that we preach are under attack. We preach them in love, but they're under attack. Faith is under attack in North America. We have lived in this freedom for years and years and years, and under the blessing of God, thank goodness. But in some ways, we have taken that for granted, folks. And faith is under attack. Let's go to my text this morning. We're going to walk through this. Romans, if you have your Bibles, we're going to put it up. But if you have your Bibles also, turn to it. Romans chapter 1. Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome, of which he never started. He writes this letter long before he'd ever visited the church in Rome. And he writes it probably from Corinth, or another town that was by Corinth. And it's just a beautiful way to open up a letter. Remember, they were letters. Never did they have chapters and broken down into verses. These were beautiful scripted letters. And he writes it to this church. And we're going to quickly look at 3 points today out of this passage that it's going to encourage all of us, because we're going to a new place in faith. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, verse 1 of Romans 1, and set apart for the gospel of God. By the way, the gospel means good news. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and through whom the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. By the way, Corinthians 15. Boy, if you get a chance this week, read it. Without the resurrection, we have no faith. All of our faith is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me declare it again. He is alive. Wow. Our faith is based on that. Okay. He's alive. Through him and for his name's sake, verse 5, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Everybody say faith. Okay. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this next verse because we're going to look at it in a few moments. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. What's he talking about? The Roman world at that time. Their faith was being reported. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last by God's will, the way be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. And verse 12, we're going to look at that in a few minutes. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Paul, of course, called to Gentile people to preach the gospel and was seeing all of these people come to know Jesus Christ. And, oh, Lord, let it happen again that people come to know Jesus. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Look at verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let's say it together. I am not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's freedom for you. It's salvation for you. It's healing for you. It's deliverance for you. It's the answer for Medicine Hat's problems. It's the answer for Canada, the United States, the world. It's the answer for Hillary Clinton. Oh, no, you shouldn't be laughing. That's the truth. And Donald Trump. They're not the answer for us. Now, God is going to place a king over the United States, over Canada. But the king's heart is like water. The king's heart is like water in the hands of God, folks. So whoever gets elected, relax. Take a selfie with Trudeau. And pray for them, because Mr. Trudeau's heart is like water in God's hands. Either we believe that or we don't. So you see, by faith, I believe that Prime Minister Trudeau's heart is in the hands of God. By faith, because that's what Scripture teaches. We should pray for his wife, his children. We should pray for them the way you would want to be prayed for. Amen? Yeah. Okay, I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, NDP, Christian Heritage, whatever. We pray. Amen. We pray. Because folks, they're not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says. And he's writing this letter to people who were under, if you think some of our politicians are nasty, go live under Nero. Or is it Domitian, I think, that was in rule of Rome when he dipped the Apostle John in boiling oil because he hated John. But here's what happened. When they lifted the body of John out of that boiling oil, nothing had touched John. Whew. By faith, folks. He thought he was a god. It terrified him. He sends John to Patmos, the island. That's why we have the book of Revelation today. You don't think God knows what he's doing? Nothing is impossible with God. By faith we receive it. We take hold of it by faith. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Satan would want to tell you, no, this is impossible. Oh, he'll tell you that all day long, but nothing is impossible with God. By faith we lay claim to it and we take hold of it. Nothing's impossible. Back to the scripture, Pastor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Oh, I love this. For in the gospel, not of works, not for in our works, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, thank you, God, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He quotes the one, there's two verses, he quotes one of them from the Old Testament writings to end up that portion. Now, it wasn't a chapter then. All right, now let's look at verse 8. Let's go to there very quickly, and I'm going to do 3 points, and I will be quick. Everybody say amen. Amen. Somebody saying that also would be a miracle. Verse 8, Paul commends them for their faith. He champions it in the letter. He had reports back that their faith was so powerful, amazing. They were together. What was happening? Not too sure. But what I love about this is, like, what would Paul write about our church? Well, I think Paul would have some good things to say. I'm being honest. Whoa. You guys came together. You're fulfilling, you two churches, I say this very humbly, you're fulfilling the great prayer of Jesus, John 17, that my people would be one, that my church would be one. There is only one church in the city. There is only one universal church. It's the church that believes in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that salvation only comes through Jesus. There's only one church. Oh, there's Baptists, and there's Pentecostals, and there's Anglicans, and there's Catholics, and one lady in the church is going like this right now. Come on, keep going. And all these people, and there's Lutherans and all this. No, yeah, there are, but wait a minute. There's only one church. Isn't that great? Oh, it's wonderful. One church. I think he'd say, way to go. Way to go, not in a prideful way, but to encourage us in our faith. Way to go, you did it. You did it. You came together. You obeyed the Holy Spirit. You're feeding people every week. Way to go. It takes faith. You're preaching the word to the best you know how. Way to go. And to the people, way to go. Keep it up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be down. Don't let Satan do that to you. Don't you listen to his words. You take captive every thought. Don't you think you can't do anything for God? You can do great things for God, and you're already doing them. Oh, stop worrying about the sin of the past. God's forgotten it. That's the remission of sin. Don't let Satan condemn you, and move forward in faith. Don't be afraid of the naysayers out there. Don't be afraid of the politicians. Don't be afraid of people who persecute you. Jesus said to love our enemies. Stand in faith. Encourage one another. But do you notice that he didn't say what was being reported? Boy, I sure like your church budget. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, you guys changed from pews to seats. Way to go. It's being reported all over the world. I'm not knocking the chairs. I quite like them, to be honest with you. It's much... I won't say that. Well, the pews were hard on butts. It's easier to sit in these. Hey, way to go, you're... You know, you've renovated the garage. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. That's a faith thing because we're growing. But he's saying your faith is being reported. Wow. Wouldn't you love the Apostle Paul to write you a letter and say, hey, your faith's being reported all over the world. Wow. Don't be pushed around by the devil. Don't let him do that. He's lost. He's defeated. Jesus did it at the cross. Amen. Tell him to get lost. And if you feel weak in your faith, stand firm. Because every one of you who knows Jesus as Lord, you've got faith. And don't let anybody tell you you don't. Amen, church? Amen. Their faith was being reported all over the world. I quoted this already, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, make a note of that, read it. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. But he doesn't leave us without faith. I've quoted this also. But he has given every man the measure of faith. Everyone. Faith is not safe. Faith is not safe. It's sometimes not very comfortable because the Spirit, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Faith asks us to do things before all of the details are worked out. That doesn't mean we don't count the cost, but we don't see everything because we walk by faith, not by sight. We're connected to another dimension. This world has two realms, the natural and the spiritual. We live by faith. We connect by faith to the Spirit of God that's living within us. We're guided by the Holy Spirit. And faith doesn't always give us all the details when we step out. It just doesn't. Often the Spirit says, do this. And it doesn't make sense to the logical mind. Now, it must make sense by the Word of God. Very important because people get off track, right? But there are times, if you think God makes a lot of sense, then you better read the scriptures about when the axe head floated. That shouldn't have happened. When Jesus walked on water, that defied natural law. Okay? When Jesus spit in the mud. Now, there's a whole story behind that, and put it in the eyes of the man who was healed. That would blow our minds today. If that happened here, and Lord, let some of those things happen, but we'd all be analyzing with our logic. I don't care if mud gets in the eyes of a blind man. I care that the dude sees. Amen? Who gives a rip? I care that the result is the miracle happened and he saw. That's what I care about. But we get our rationale involved. So there's two realms. So faith isn't safe. Look at Peter. You know, Peter gets a bad rap, especially when he gets out of the boat and walks on the water, takes his eyes off Jesus, starts to sink, and Christ pulls him up. There was 11 other dudes that wouldn't get out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat by faith. All right, he took his eyes off the Lord. He starts to sink. So what? Christ is there. You're going to step out in faith. Sometimes you'll feel like you're sinking, but Jesus Christ will be there to grab you by the hand and pick you up. That's faith. We move by faith. All right, verses 11 and 12. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. There is a move, not of God, that is happening to many people that is very sad. They're very critical of the way church is and their believers, but they're criticizing the church in its present form. That's very dangerous. Let me say this. The church in its present form is not perfect. Say amen. Amen. But it's the church. It's the church. And as messy as the body of Christ can be, and the things that go on, and this, that, and the other, Jesus loves his bride. And it's dangerous to criticize the church. It's not perfect. But they criticize it so much that they have removed themselves from the fellowship of the saints. They have believed a deceiving lie. A church has leaders. It has elders and deacons and leaders, and they congregate together for the mutual edification of one another, to build one another up in the faith. And so Paul was saying, keep gathering together. Keep coming together like this, and gather like this, and gather at Tim Hortons, Starbucks, I better say the roastery, for particular reasons that a lot of you don't know, and encourage one another. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here, don't raise your hand, but seriously, you felt really down one day, your faith was under attack? We've all felt that way, right? And at the right moment, somebody calls you and says, let's go for coffee. Let's talk on the phone. Let's pray together. Did your faith go from here to here? Amen. Absolutely. The gift that Paul was talking about here was the gift of encouragement, of which all of us should be encouragers. I recently read a tremendous message online. Well, just amazing message, actually, by a Greek Orthodox priest in the United States. What a message. And he used this story, and I forget the name of the pastor that preached this, but this pastor preached this tremendous message, or he preached a message. And after the service was greeting the people as they left the building. And one man shook his hand and said, you know, Pastor, today, in your message, you had 12 grammatical errors. I'd hate to meet the guy, because it'd be far more than 12. I flunked English, okay? Another person shook his hand and said this, Pastor, I found God in your message. One message, two views. One view, criticism. You can criticize, that's okay. But you shouldn't stay in a state of criticism. Very unhealthy for faith, by the way. That's one of the enemies of faith, is bitterness, unforgiveness, and criticism. It'll destroy your faith. The other person said, I found God in your message. Wow. Listened with their hearts. Amazing. Encouragement. Today, in a few moments, we're going to be dismissed. Somebody here needs encouragement. And they need you to be the one that says, hang in. Faith is growing in you. Stay strong. I'm praying for you. Don't tell people you're praying for them if you're really not, okay? Encourage someone in the faith. Strengthen them in the faith. Bless someone with your words. Use the gift of encouragement. Quickly turn to 1 Thessalonians. And then Sharon, would you come to the piano? It says this, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, And then skip back to chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. The other versions talk about the perfecting of their faith. Paul would pray. Wouldn't you love someone to pray for you? That you would be encouraged in your faith, that the Holy Spirit would build. Wouldn't you love that? That's what we're supposed to do as the body. There's people here who've lost loved ones. There's people here going through difficulty. There's people here whose finances are struggling. And there's people here who are being in a season of great blessing. Well, then get beside someone and encourage them that their day is here now. And take hold of it by faith. And last but not least, verses 16, 17, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because righteousness can only come about by the gospel. Can you go back to those verses, Romans 1, 16 and 17? We'll go to verse 16 and 17, please. Should be on that last slide. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And next verse. Here we go. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Everybody stand, please. We do not come to Christ because we're good. We can't. We cannot come to Christ based on our own merits. We can't. We come to Him because of a recognition that I can never earn my salvation. Galatians says, then I would boast about it. We come to Christ by grace and through faith, Galatians says. Through faith. Putting faith in Jesus. There's people here today that don't know Christ. I believe that. This isn't a pressure tactic. It's just not. It's an offer to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Would everybody bow their heads? I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you for an amazing morning with Jesus. We're here because none of us could have earned our salvation. But now that we have Jesus Christ, we're blood bought. Wow. Righteous, justified, free. Eternal life lives in us. It's joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray for every person here. And Lord, I'm particularly praying for people who've never made this commitment and repentance to turn away from sin and confess Jesus as Lord and believe in their heart and they would be saved. Romans 9:10. Now, in a very quiet way, no one looking around, if you're here today, we'd love to have the opportunity to lead you to personal faith in Jesus. Is there anyone here who would say, Pastor Mark, I'm going to slip my hand up. Would you have someone pray with me and lead me to the Lord today? I need Christ. If I walk out this door and don't know Christ and die, I'm unsure of my eternity, as you should be, by the way. Is there anyone here? You'd slip your hand up and we'll pray with you to receive Jesus as Lord. We'll wait a moment. Don't be afraid. Don't let those feelings of fear come in. It's by faith you receive Jesus.